Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
The Boston Bruins return to action tonight in the TD Garden, and for the first time in more than a year, there will be fans in the stands. Meanwhile, there was a lot of buzz around Danny Ainge and the Boston Celtics possibly making a move at the trade deadline, which just passed about 20 minutes ago. So listen, that really matters. Not happy with that. So I want folks to know that trade deadline matters if we want to, Chris, as you and I have talked about, fall in love with and get behind the Celtics this spring. So obviously we got Chris Siderick here to check the score. Hey there, Chris.
Hey, Tiziana.
So do you want to start Bruins or do you want to start Celtics? There's a lot here.
Yeah, there is a lot here. I'm wearing the black and gold, so let's start with the bees. This has been a two-year crusade now, as many folks remember, of me trying to bring you on board the Bruins fan bandwagon here. And I've decided it's time to recruit some help, right? So we're going to bring WVUR's Morning Edition senior news writer, Sarah Rose Brenner, who will be in the garden tonight for the Bees game. Hey, Sarah Rose.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Doing all right.
Sarah Rose. All right. You two take it away because you know the Bruins like I don't yet. Although this is bringing in a ringer, Chris. Yeah, you're bringing in a ringer.
Don't worry. That's right. So Sarah Rose, set the stage for us a little bit before we get into the team. This is obviously, it's been more than a year since fans have been in the garden. What is that going to look like tonight? What's the garden putting in place here?
Well, honestly, it might look a little sparse. It's 12% capacity for fans. It's about 2,200 people, and they're going to be very spread out. You know, I talked to Amy Latima, the garden president, and she said that it's just unbelievable to see all of the space around the groups of people. So the groups, you can only sit with no more than three people. So groups of four, and they all have 6 feet around them, and you can't gather in the concourses. And then they have the other, you know, pandemic safety measures that we've seen, you know, we've become accustomed to. Like, fans are being asked to wear face masks, and ushers actually have yellow cards. So if they see a fan not wearing a mask, they're going to give them a yellow card. And yes, it is like
soccer. What are we doing?
Yes,
here?
It's like soccer. So if you get two yellow cards, you might get kicked out of the garden.
Do you get penalty shots? That's the question, right?
Nope, it's just straight out, and then you're suspended for a game. I'm kidding. They might let you back in.
So this is a team that has had a bit of a bumpy week due to COVID. Where are we at in terms of players back? Is everybody back? Do we still have a couple on the COVID list?
Oh, yes. There are a couple on the COVID list. There were five total players in the protocol. They were all forwards. Three are coming back. David Pastrnak, David Krejci, and Craig Smith. They'll all be on the ice. But Jake DeBrusk and Sean Corrali are still out. And then also the Bruins have a fair number of injuries, and most of the injured players are not coming back. Like Brandon Carlo, who was skating, but he's been out since March 5th because of a really dirty hit in the Capitals game.
Yeah, so they have struggled with injuries, especially defensively. I'm hearing Tuukka Rask could be back in net tonight. Are you hearing that, and how big a return would that be?
Yes, Tuukka Rask is expected to start for the first time since, you know, early March. He's back, and the fans are back, and it just feels like kismet that they're both coming back at the same time. You know, he's been out with an undisclosed injury, and he's only one win shy of his 300th career win. So how cool would it be if he got that milestone tonight?
There we go. So there's going to be obviously a ton of energy in the building tonight. I'm sure fans are itching to get back into the building and cheer this team on. I'm curious what you make of this team. Tiziana and I have talked about the fact that they've struggled to score at times. Do you think they can be contenders?
Okay, can I love them?
yeah, we'll get you there, TD. Don't worry.
Yeah, you know, anyone can love this team. I mean, I think they have arguably the best first line in hockey, so I'm never going to count that team out. They also have a great goalie tandem with Rask and Yaro Halak, so you can't really, I mean, they're going to be contenders. Look, they're fourth in the East right now. They're only 10 points out of first place, and they've played fewer games, like up to four fewer games than other teams in that group. So they definitely have a chance. And if you're counting the Bruins out, you're insane.
All right. So I want to ask the two of you before we let you go, Sarah Rose, just put it in perspective, especially for people who maybe have never been to a Bruins game. How big of a deal is it to have fans in the stands tonight?
Oh, it is massive. The energy in the garden, it's like nothing I've ever been around. It's just like it buzzes, and the players, they notice it on the ice, you know, like not having fans has really negatively impacted the game. So they're also really looking forward to this.
Yeah, I mean, that place gets so loud, especially for Bruins fans. And I have no doubt, even though there's only 12% capacity in there, the players are going to hear them. And this is a team I think that really could use the boost. Over the last 12, they're 5-5-2. And it really has felt like they've just kind of been missing a little bit of that heart, a little bit of that enthusiasm over the last few weeks. Obviously, the week off doesn't help that either. So hopefully fans in the building can give them a little bit of a jolt and help them make this run down the stretch.
Well, WBUR Sarah Rose Brenner, we're going to let you go because you got to head down there. Have a great time tonight.
Yes.
Thanks for joining us.
Be nice and loud for us.
Woo. Thanks.
There you go. So, Chris, now we got to move to the Celtics. And oh, you've said they've been lacking heart all year. The trade deadline was today at 3 p.m. We were kind of waiting all day to see what was going to happen, what we were even going to be talking about here on the show. So here's my little drum roll on my desk at home. What happened?
I'm going to reiterate, womp, womp. Look, the all right, so they did make a deal. I have to put this in perspective a little bit. Danny Ainge, the GM of the Celtics, hasn't made a trade deadline deal since 2015. It's been 6 years since they've made a move in season like this to try to help give that team just a little bit of extra to put them over the edge. They did trade 2 second-round picks for Evan Fournier. They had been targeting Aaron Gordon. That deal ended up falling through. Aaron Gordon's going to Denver. They were looking for kind of a big man who could shoot and play defense. Evan Fournier is a guard who can score.
Yeah, so, I don't know who this guy is, right? Yeah. I'm not a huge basketball fan. So what does it mean to take this guy?
So he is a scorer. He can put up about 20 points a game, which is not nothing. But it also doesn't really address what this team needs. Right now, this team, we've talked about the culture, right? That they aren't able to close games.
Yeah.
That they, go all the way back to last summer when they almost lost to Toronto after being ahead in that series and then ended up getting knocked out by Miami. They really continue to get themselves into big holes just like they did last night against the Milwaukee Bucks.
And the Bucks are a good team, right? They're one of the best.
They are, but the Celtics should also be one of the best. They have two of the best young players in the league, and they end up going down 25 points to the Bucks. And it looked like it was just this lack of energy and passion and heart on the floor that kind of digs this hole. And then they claw their way back. They do all this work. They get to within two, and they had a shot to win it at the buzzer.
Giannis, no timeouts. Smart will again inbound set from this side. Finds Tice for three in the win. No good. And the Bucks hang on, almost blowing a 25-point lead. Tice got a great look. He knew it, but he couldn't hit it.
Oof. Oh, you know, we need things to be excited and happy about as we're trying to crawl our way out of the pandemic. That sounds like it hurt.
Yeah, and you could hear it in the players after the game. Tice, after he missed that shot, really just leans his head back and screams to the heavens in frustration. I got to play you a little bit of Kemba Walker too, who was phenomenal last night. I really drove this comeback and brought them to within striking distance. But here he is talking about the loss after the game.
Definitely a tough loss, but I thought we just picked up our effort, our energy. Defensively, when that was the most important thing. And whenever we got stopped, we got a ran. That kind of helped us. We started to get a little bit more momentum. Obviously, we just didn't do that early on in the game.
I mean, you can hear it in his voice. He just sounds defeated.
All right. So, Chris, I want to kind of help spell this out for the listeners. This is a team that got, there's 25 points down. That's bad, right?
Yeah.
Then they came really close to winning. That's good. But then in the very last second, whiff, right? Or
yeah.
What we used to say about the Bruins, doink, right off the off the edge. So what's it going to take for that saga for this team to change?
And this is why I don't really think they did enough at the deadline, because I think they really have to change the culture and shake up the locker room. Basketball, we always talk about, is so much about chemistry and how these guys work with each other and as a unit, right? And not just their individual talents, because they have more than enough talent to be competitive. But if you look at how they finish games, especially, there were 4 shots last night in the last 70 seconds where they're down 2 and a chance to win this game. None of those 4 shots were taken by their 2 best players. So that's a huge problem. You want your best guys shooting with the game on the line. And I have to point out also, Marcus Smart, we talk so much about him being the heart of the team and playing this tough-nosed defense. But he is one of those guys that maybe shoots when he shouldn't. Going into last night's game, I came across a stat that is just really staggering. In fourth quarters and overtimes, he was 11 for his last 48, which is shooting 23%, terrible shooting percentage, and had missed 21 threes in a row in the fourth quarter and overtime, which is, you're just not going to get it done that way. And again, I think the major problem is whatever is going on with this team's chemistry, your best players need to be taking over down the stretch, and it's just not happening. So whatever they have to do to shake it up and kind of wake these guys up, they got to do it, and they got to do it fast.
All right, so I now have a new motivational poster from Chris Sitterick. Quote, you want your best players shooting when the game is on the line.
That's right. That's why I'm here behind the mic, right? Let's go.
That's right. All right, now we have to take on a very sobering subject because sports penetrates all our lives in some way or another, and it's how we shape our young people often. And we have a disturbing story for the Massachusetts sports world that involves reports of anti-Semitic language from the Duxbury High School football team. Chris, I just want you to give our listeners a rundown of the latest on that story.
Yeah, so if folks have been following this story, the Duxbury High School football team has had their game on Friday night against Hingham canceled, and the freshman and JV games have been canceled this weekend after reports of players using anti-Semitic play calls on the field surfaced this week. So reportedly, they're using phrases like Rabbi, Dreidel, and Auschwitz to call audibles on the field. David Mamaron, the head coach, was fired on Wednesday and also placed on administrative leave as a special education teacher. And actually, Massachusetts State Senator Barry Feingold, who's himself Jewish and also played high school and college football, so kind of understands that culture, has actually reached out to the team to offer to help educate the players on anti-Semitism. And he actually spoke about that work on WBZ TV earlier this week.
When someone says Auschwitz, I don't think these young people understand how harmful and hurtful that is to people that are Jewish.
And I understand that he sees this as an opportunity to create an engagement and learning moment for the kids. We would certainly hope that that happens. And then what happens for the team for the rest of the season?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. We will see. The district has said basically there'll be a decision about the rest of the season at a later date. But I think what makes this story so painful is, you know, high school sports is supposed to be a place where these young student athletes are learning about themselves and their place in the world and how to navigate the world. And we expect coaches to be their mentor and to guide them through that. And when you have a coach setting the absolute wrong kind of tone like this, I think that is what makes it so troubling.
All right. Well, on that note, Radio Boston's Chris Sitterick. Chris, thanks for checking the score with us this week.
Always great to be with you.